This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It's time to turn our attention to the man that knows everything about paper football and real man football. It is Brian Broaddus from DallasCowboys.com. Broaddus, how's it going tonight, man?
Why would I want to go win a trip to Florida? Because at 10:45 every night, you tell me what a nightmare state that is with all those stories that you guys have.
But that remember so how much fun you have before you probably end up dying or whatever.
Oh, no. Every story, my man, at 10:45, we're going to talk. Colby's going to talk about guy loses his cool at the parking. You know, I mean, it's always in Florida. Every story's in Florida.
You're not wrong.
I know I'm right.
That is a very
fair
point.
Hey, by the way, who's winning the Catwoman poll, by the way?
I was trying to look that up. I'm going to look at it right now. I think that Michelle Pfeiffer is winning 44%.
Get out of here.
Halle Berry's at 38%.
You a Newmar guy?
I was a huge fan of Julie Newmar.
Julie Newmar is not bad, and it made me pause a little bit, but I voted for Halle Berry. I did vote for her. Halle Berry, the way she moved around in that costume, my gosh. Okay, I get it.
I think what hurts her is how crappy the movie was, and some people can't separate the two, so that might hurt her.
The movie might be crappy, but she wasn't.
Michelle Pfeiffer was good, though.
She was okay. Let's not overrate that. You wouldn't trade up for that. You wouldn't. You wouldn't Mike Ditka go up and give all your picks away to go for that, would you?
She had
in that scenario, is Halle Berry all my picks?
She
right?
had the freedom to be super sexy, you know,
I'll
like
tell you what,
licking Batman's mask and stuff.
Yeah, I might give up my third day of the draft to go get Halle Berry. I might absolutely do
that. The whole third day?
Yes. Compensatories and all. Go get it. Yeah.
Man, this is the moral compass that I would love to see come true, and I bet Broaddus would be okay with that too. You get a text at 5 p.m. Thursday to open the draft, and Halle Berry says that she wants you, but it has to be right now.
Oh wow!
And you have to go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, this is you guys tried to get me on that DM thing the other day. You know, you thought you were really crafty there, you know, Hagee. You're losing all that damn weight.
Right.
And you're thinking you're
going to
really
anger
crafty.
You?
And by the way, I know you think you're better both than Lucius and KT on their birthdays. I know you're already better.
I can't be better than Lucius because I've seen him with his shirt off, and it makes me sad about my life.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, you're trying to get there, though. Man, I'm proud of you. Hey, I do enjoy your spots. You know, everybody else's spots I turn off on the radio, and these guys have been in – Ben Rogers tries to sell me stuff. I turn the channel instantly, you know, but
Broaddus, yeah, we're on air right now. I don't know if you should be saying all these things.
That's okay. Ben knows I love him. It's okay. But yeah, Hagee, you sell me on this weight loss stuff. Every time I'm like, oh, how much do you think he's lost? 86 pounds. My gosh, he's doing great. Hey, that's good. I got the number two in front of it now, right, Hagee?
Hey, that is true. That was a big deal for me. I appreciate you listening. I'm sure you listen to all of our commercials, though, Broaddus. So
you know what? They know. Everybody knows. My gosh, let's not act like it. But anyway, what football questions you got today for the big football brain?
So this is something that I think we're going to attack in the upcoming days on our own. But I wanted to get your thought because Corey brought this up, and
sure.
I found it really interesting. Do you like the way the Cowboys are structuring the way they use their resources, given that three of the four teams are in championship weekend because of their defense? Like, do you look at the Cowboys now and go, man, it's time to start redistributing those resources better?
Well, yeah, and it's really funny because those defenses are helping, you know, quarterbacks that are, you know, really kind of, you know, subpar, if you really want. I mean, two of them for sure, and then, you know, I put the curse of Blake Bortles on, you know, him. And once I said he was going to be great, then that killed him for any opportunity he had to have any success in the National Football League. But, I think that you have to look at your – you know, the Cowboys did make a commitment last year. I mean, they
I agree. Yeah.
You know, they said, you know, and let's see the commitment they're going to make. They're going to give $17 million to that rush in. You know, Lawrence is going to get $17 million. Get ready for that. You know, on that franchise tag, you know, Stephen Jones was coming on our station and saying, you know, hey, we need these linebackers, you know, so, you know, what kind of commitment are you going to get to Anthony Hitchens? You know, I think people are going to look at Anthony Hitchens and say, man, a guy can play all different spots. You know, he's reliable. He'll play hurt. He's a good teammate. I mean, you know, somebody will come, somebody will be real smart and watch tape and see Anthony Hitchens is a really good football player. But like I said, you know, the resources to, you know, yeah, you could say what you want about Taco. I think once they got rid of DeMontre Moore, you know, when Taco started getting more snaps, he got a little better. You know, I feel like, hey, they're still in the hunt of, you know, addressing this defense. Even though, it was 9-7, no playoffs. You know, you look at it and say, okay, could they use a one technique? Could they use a three technique? For surely they can use a linebacker. Even if they sign Hitchens, they can use a linebacker. What are you going to do at safety? Hey, maybe you draft a corner and move a Wouzier inside to play with Byron Jones and let him play down. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of options that they can go with here and to try and help this defense. And they do have enough picks to kind of, you know, materialize that if they want.
Now, you talk about DeMarcus Lawrence and the franchise as if that's a done deal. So you don't think they will negotiate a multi-year before it gets to that?
Yeah, I just think it's going to be – I just think it's going to be problematic when you've got, you know, with Zach Martin really on the front burner, you know. That's the one that they've got the most. Now,
what's the holdup there, by the way? I'm sorry to ask another question.
That's – you know, I'm not involved with the negotiating there, and I kind of thought that was – you know, but – I kind of thought, okay, this one's going to get done, training camp, you know, we're all going to have a big, you know, all be there, you know, standing there watching practice and word will leak out, oh, Zach Martin signed the extension. But, yeah, that didn't materialize. I think the fact of the way they need to structure it, and if you look at some of the deals that they've done, the Tyron Smith deal for life, basically, you know, Travis Frederick's deal was a pretty significant deal, you know, with, you know, he's the second or third highest paid center. Well, Zach Martin's going to sit there and say, wait a minute, I'm one of the best guards in this business, and he's absolutely right about that. You know, I mean, so I feel like that they will, you know, that's why it's taken a little bit longer because, you know, the number is a pretty huge number, and they have to figure kind of the ramifications of all that. But yeah, it seems like that both parties are working in the right direction, so that in itself is as encouraging. And I think that's where, you know, the signing is going to go to, and then you just turn around and use the tag. Now, wow, I wonder if they could do the other thing if they turn around and say, you know, hey, you know, if they had to, you know, Zach Martin, they got that fifth-year deal that they can do with him, you know, because he was a first-round pick. You know, they can, you know, he's got really a couple more years. So, you know, it might be interesting that they just wait and say, okay, but I don't think they will. I think they're working on it well enough, they're far enough along that they can get that done.
Brought us a name that I've seen pop up in Twitter debates a lot, and I'm not sure exactly where you stand on him, but I know Dane Brugler has thrown his name in there a couple times, and Kevin knows I'm a big fan of him, is Maurice Hurst. Is that a kind of guy that, like, we were just talking about, is that a depth situation if the Cowboys wanted to get a guy like that there? Or is that a, you know, we're making this position a position of strength for us later down the road by adding to this spot? Tell me I'm right.
Yeah, I always like to tell you you're right.
I'm just joking.
And, you know, except when you're not right. I'll tell you right then, too. But no, I think that, to me, Maurice Hurst is an interesting name because that's kind of where Maurice Hurst is going to go. He's going to be one of those guys, and you always have to learn this on the draft show. You always have to tell everybody, Maurice Hurst is a defensive tackle from Michigan. You always have to tell what they play and where they're from, because sometimes you get in this conversation where you talk and you say names and people don't know where he's from, so you got to let everybody know that.
Gotcha.
But here he is, Maurice Hurst, defensive tackle, under tackle, three technique, Michigan. Now, guy, it's about 6'1", almost 6'2", 288 pounds. You know, you watch him play, and he is one of those guys that's really good against the run. And I like him against the run. I think he gets some more push with power than moves. But, man, the effort to get there is good. He stays after it. When he does get free, I mean, he bends well enough to capture. So, you know, you put him inside, you let him use the quickness, you let him get through the gaps, you let him penetrate, those kinds of things. You got that type of a football player. Now, does that mean, okay, well, we fixed Malik Collins' foot, so he should be better. Now, Malik Collins, he's going to play the one for you? Oh, yeah, that's good. We like that. We like when he plays that one technique. You know, he seems to have some production there. Okay, Hurst will play the under tackle. Okay, David Irvin now. You've given David Irvin a second-round tender. Let's say David Irvin doesn't go anywhere. Well, now you got Hurst and David Irvin as your under tackles there. So, you know, that position looks pretty good right there. Mm-hmm. You know, again, if you can count on David Irvin to play all 16 games, you know, that's going to be the question. But what you're talking about, though, you know, with where Hurst is going to be, he's going to be right there at that 19th spot. That's about the spot. Maybe he's the last guy on your board that is, you know, of your 18 to 20 names in the first round. He's one of those guys, and it is. It's a position of importance in this defense. You know, Rod Marinelli has always talked about that. He's always talked about that in the Will linebacker. So, you know, that would be surely a consideration there.
Over the years, whenever we talk with Frank Provenzano, he talks about how...
Great guy.
Yeah, he is. But he talks about how no rooting interests and kind of jokes around that he was a mercenary. I'm curious, how does your philosophy fall on that? Because you roll into championship weekend here on The Fan, and I know you have experience, of course, with the Eagles, but also since you work with the Cowboys, we're supposed to hate the Eagles. Like, where do you fall on rooting interest in terms of the Eagles and just in general the places you've worked?
You know, it's a very good question. And, you know, I'm always, you know, I grew up a Cowboys fan. I'm from Dallas. You know, my family was season ticket holders for 20 years. And then I went to work in Green Bay in 92, and my dad gave up our season tickets. So my growing up as a kid, of course, was a Cowboy fan. My Philadelphia experience was the best you can imagine. I mean, it's the one time in my life, and I was with all those guys in Green Bay. And maybe if I stayed in Green Bay, I look at this and I try not to always look back, because I'm just saying, I'm, you know, 54 years old. I'm closer to the end than I am to the, you know, to when I started. And I kind of look back and say, you know, if I'd stayed in Green Bay, you know, I see my buddy John Snyder, John Dorsey, Reggie McKenzie. And I'm seeing all these guys that are general managers, and I kind of wonder, you know, maybe if I'd have stayed, I might have had the same career path.
Wow.
But, you know, I left. I went to Philadelphia. Well, I got to run a draft in Philadelphia. I was 35 years old, you know, and I got to, you know, and put it together. And the draft ended up being, you know, a matter of fact, someone alerted me to a poll they did in Philadelphia. In the history of the Eagles, it was rated the fifth best draft in the whole history of the franchise.
And we saw the press conference video.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool. But yeah, I never got to see those guys play. You know, I never got to be a part of that because, you know, we drafted in April and we were gone in May. Myself and Mike Lombardi were gone. And, you know, but Andy Reid came in and, you know, he won a lot of division championships and went to a Super Bowl and stuff like that with that crew. And, you know, that part of it made me proud. And, you know, I am not an Eagles fan. I'm not. I mean, to be honest with you, I was pulling for Matt Ryan to pull one out of his rear the other day on that last play of the game. You know, I'm like, my God, sprint right option. What can come up with a better play than
that? Oh, yeah.
You know, and so, but I'm very loyal and very grateful to Jeff Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, for what he did for me. You know, I mean, he didn't have to, he came in and told Mike and I, goes, you two are running the draft and let's go. And he didn't look back and, you know, and, yeah, like I say, he just had bought the team in 94, and, you know, so he was trying to kind of find his way there. And yeah, get my rooting interest. I'd like to see Mike Zimmer. You know, I like Mike a lot. And Doug Peterson, I used to drive around when he wanted to go get drunk in Green Bay. You know, I mean, so I have, you know, two friends there, and, you know, I used to work in Jacksonville, and, you know, Tom Coughlin was mean to me all the time, but, you know, that's okay. And, you know, it's
probably
funny,
everybody, that, not just you.
Yeah, man, no, he's changed a lot, though. He really was. He had, you know, Tom Coughlin's changed, and I think for the good. I think he's done a better job now. And those early years in Jacksonville, he was a tough man to work for. He really, really was. And, you know, and I appreciate all those experiences that I had. And, you know, I'd love to see my friends do well, and, you know, those guys that I worked with, but, you know, I'm disappointed that we're on the sidelines here in Dallas, to be honest with you. I really, really am.
Yeah, for the last 22 years.
Yeah, it's been tough. It's been tough. And, you know, and I hear Mike, you know, Mike Bassick is really going hard at the owner.
And he is.
Yeah. And, you know, and I, it's okay. I mean, and Jerry's got big shoulders. I mean, he's got big shoulders, and he knows. I mean, he knows that, but to question, you know, anybody to question his desire to want to win a championship and saying that the dollar's more important, I'll challenge anybody, any owner, that the money that Jerry Jones puts into his team just walk out to that facility. You know, it's $1 billion facility right there. You know, that was his vision, his idea. Yeah, is it business to get it built? Was it a partnership with Frisco? Absolutely it was. But he's trying to do everything in his power to win these games. And, you know, it hasn't been consistent. They haven't been able to put back-to-back seasons together where you can build any kind of continuity. And, you know, let's be honest, if Jason Garrett, if it's 9-7 and 8-8, I think Jerry Jones will do what he has to do to get somebody in here that can lead this team into the playoffs and into the Super Bowls and stuff like that. But to question his desire to win football games or do whatever it takes, I think is really, really ill-advised. I really, really do. And I'm not saying that because he signs my check. I'm just saying I've been with the man. I've seen the man. I've seen him, you know, live and die at these games. I mean, it's tough on him. You know, he doesn't want to, you know, he knows it's been a long time. But, you know, hey, it's what the NFL is. I always say this. It's a strange lady, you
yes,
know,
it
and,
is.
And you know, you got to figure it out before you can get back to it.
Hey, Broadus, did y'all blow some people's minds yesterday? You and KT and Sham and Jeff at dinner? Like, were they just like, I can't believe how much football we're taking in right now?
Well, the guys were great. And it was part of, the auction from Jared Sandler's group. And yeah, we went to Tillman's and my gosh, the food there is excellent to begin with. I'm sorry if I'm stepping on anybody's foot for advertisement here, but it is a great
place. Oh, you already did that early in the segment. You're fine.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sorry. I apologize to all our people that work there that sell our ad space and stuff. But anyway, you know, yeah, I mean, when you get Brad Sham in a room, you know how it is with Brad. I mean, gosh, he's telling stories about Tom Landry and stuff like that, and you're just kind of sitting there and you're listening. And yeah, I mean, everything was very cool. It was a great dinner, a great event. I really appreciate you know, Jared and the group and the guys there at Tillman's putting it all together for us. And I'm really happy that we got to experience with those guys.
Well, you appreciate them, and we appreciate you every Wednesday, Broadus. You want to hit him up on Twitter. It's at Brian Broadus. Always a pleasure, good sir.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Look forward to it. Hey, next Wednesday, we'll be calling you from the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
So, we'll have some Senior Bowl conversations. We'll be actually day two of practice. We'll have a Tuesday practice, Wednesday practice, and Thursday. So you'll catch me after a Wednesday practice. We'll have four practices in to some to kind of get your Senior Bowl questions, and I'll see who else I can offend on the station about their ad spots while we're at it, too.
And also make sure you have a Rico Gathers update for us next Wednesday, all right?
You got that? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Rico Gathers update. That'll be a good one. Yeah, there we go.
Man, I've never heard someone check out of a spot a week before it even happens. Look forward to that, Broadus.
I love you guys. Take care now. See ya.
Here's Brian Broadus preparing for what excuse for why he can't come on next week just because of what you just said, Corey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.